Good morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah, Chav Dala. We are on the very bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We'll start with the words Gufa. We did some of this yesterday. Let's go back. Let's revisit the opinion of Rabbi Shila. Rabbi Shila taught us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can only buy an paraduma from a Jew. The Torah, when describing the paraduma, says Vichu Elecha. When you buy, Daber Bnei Yisrael Vichu Elecha. Speak to Bnei Yisrael Vichu Elecha. Vichu Elecha. Kipshuto means that you're going to be the buyer, but the Gemara also points out that Vichu can also be read Vayakichu, which means that we're not only talking about the buyer, we're talking about the seller, meaning that the Jew has to be the buyer, the Jew has to be the seller. So in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a Gzeiras HaKasuv that when you buy the paraduma, you have to buy it from a Jew. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Chachamim disagreed, as we're going to point out later in just a moment. Dama ben Asina seems to be siding with the Chachamim over that of Rabbi Eliezer, although the Gemara is going to answer up for Rabbi Eliezer. But anyway, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, and how are we here? Meaning, why are we talking about paraduma and the supplier of a paraduma? So this comes up because of the beginning of the parak. Meaning, let's just take a step back for a moment, take a look at a larger picture of what we're doing. We started the second parak of Avodah Zarah. Within the second parak of Avodah Zarah, so we opened up with a question, the opening question of the parak, which is the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to park your animals by the stables of the Goyim, because since they're so immersed in Mishka Behema, so you're going to leave your animal by them, and they're going to be in violation of Mishka Behema, and you're going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. So that was the Mishnah. On the other hand, the Gemara opened up with a Braisa, Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that we could buy animals from Goyim. Now we know that a sodomized animal, if an animal was sodomized by a person involved in Mishka Behemoth, we know that the animal's pasul mizbeach. And meanwhile, the Braisa says, the Tosefta says that when we're buying our animals for Kabanas, we can buy them from anyone. And even if they're coming from a non-Jew, that would be fine. So that was the opening question of the Perek. Mishnah telling us that they do have a proclivity towards Mishka Behemoth, and you can't even park your animals by them. And meanwhile, the Tosefta is saying that don't be concerned, you can buy your animals from them when buying them for Karbana. So that was the opening question. What we ended up with since the opening of the parak is three answers to that question. I'm not going to go through the three answers right now, but Rav Ravina and Rabbi Pedas are the three answers. And within the answer of Rabbi Pedas, the Gemara of Rabbi Pedas said that it's a machlokes hatanayim, meaning it's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer, where do we know this machlokes? We know from a Mishnah Parah. The Mishnah Parah tells us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim disagree. And ostensibly, what Rabbi Pedas was suggesting is that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is this concern of whether or not we're worried that they are so shut of b'mishka behema that we can't buy animals from them. That sheet is Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim say, no, we're not that concerned. So that could be the machlokas. With that stated, so where's the source of Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara, as it presented the answer of Rabbi Pedas, the Gemara said in the name of Shila the Tana, that it's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Dabrel ben Yisrael v'chu elecha, and he has it's almost like a kri ksiv. So the Darshan's a Pasuk. V'chu v'yakichu. Meaning that when you buy it, you have to buy it from a Jew. That's that's so far what we've been discussing up until now. And the Gemara now is going to ask the following question. Gufa. So we are now picking up on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the first word in the line. So Gufa Tani Shila. So Shila taught the following. And that is, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer, what's behind Rabbi Eliezer, Dichsiv, Daber, Bnei Yisrael, V'ichu. Good. Everything we've discussed up until now. Bnei Yisrael, V'ichu, V'eino, Ovdi, Kochavim, V'ichu. Meaning you have to buy from a Jew, not from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you a question. We have at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa beginning of Parshas Truma. Thank you. So we have in the beginning of Parshas Truma that Vaikhuli Truma, that when collecting for the Mishkan, so it has to be coming from who? Who is the supplier? So if you're going to go with this thought process, and this way of darshaning has to come from a Jew. So the Gemara says, so when buying material for the Mishkan, and as we're going to extend that for in just a moment, not just the Mishkan, but the Beis Hamikdash in general, so it has to be coming from a Jew. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, So good. Maybe that's right. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, but it's not right. Because they asked Rabbi Elazar, what are the limits of Kibbut Av Ve'Eim? Well, let's take a look at one case study where we had a non-Jew living in the city of Ashkelon, and look what he did for his father. Now, for Vidama ben Nesina Shimon, now the name of this individual is Dama ben Nesina. Now, they needed stones for the ephod. And Vishishim Rubuschar, and it was an exorbitant amount. It was 60 times 10,000. So 600,000. Rav Kahana Masni Bishmonim Ribu. And some say it was 800,000. Vayu Maftechos Munachos Tachos Marashosov Shal Aviv. And right now, in order to get to the stones that he had, so he needed, it was in a safe. And the keys to the safe were underneath the father. The father was sleeping at the time. Lot Siaru, and he didn't wake up his father. And yes, now he lost a tremendous opportunity. But in other words, in order to do the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ve'Eim, so fine, so I'll lose that opportunity. Opportunity lost, but I got the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. So that is the story regarding Dama ben Nesina. And the Gemara is now bothered because we now were looking to purchase stones for the ephod from a guy. And in the context now of our Gemara, the Gemara says, yeah, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to. How is Rabbi Eliezer going to learn up this story? So the Gemara's answer is, Avnei Shom Hifzika Inyan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you look at the beginning of Parshas Truma, so you'll make the following observation. It's a real, real diuk in the Pesukim. In other words, when the Torah lists off the materials that we need, so when you get to Avnei Shoam, so it doesn't say V'Avnei Shoam. So for all the other materials, it has a Vav, but when it gets to Avnei Shoam, it doesn't have a Vav. Oh. So the Gemara now is making a diuk, breaking the action. So everything up to Avnei Shoam, that has to be coming from a Jew. But then from Avnei Shoam and onward, so it can come from a guy. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'ha'avne miluim k'siv dahada arve." So the Gemara says, "I'm not buying that answer." First of all, it says "V'avne miluim." The vav is now back in the pesukim, and what that vav does now is it takes everything and it mixes it back up again. So that means to say that we do have connecting vavs after avne shoam. So that means to say that everything now is included in vikru. And so as a result of that, everything has to be bought from a Jew. Again, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And furthermore, says the Gemara, Vod Kitani Seifa. Lashana Cheres, and the Gemara says, and let's go weiter in the story with Dama ben Nesina. Because the next year, No Dolo Paraduma Be'edro, you had a Paraduma born in the flock of Dama ben Nesina. Nichnasu Chach Be'isol Atzlo. And the Chachamim came in, Amar Lam Yodiani Bachem She'im Ani Mevakish Mechem Kom Mamun Sheba'olam Atem Nosnim Li. And Dama ben Nesina says, look, I know what kind of price I can command over the Para Aduma. I know I can get whatever I want. But he says, but look, all I'm going to ask you for is the amount of money that I lost with last year's opportunity. So in other words, I understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu is making it up to me, but in other words, I'm not going to take anything more than what I could have gained in last year's episode. That's talking about the Para Aduma. So in other words, whatever you want to say in terms of where Rabbi Eliezer goes with this drasha, it goes to the materials of the Mishkan, maybe yes, maybe no, but we certainly know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're only allowed to buy a Parah Aduma from a Jew. That's straight out of the Mishnah Parah. So what is Rabbi Eliezer going to do with the story? And remember, by the way, and I'm not sure if this point is really good, but when they asked the question, who did they ask the question to regarding Kibbut Av Ve'Eim? Shalu is Rabbi Eliezer. Now, I'm assuming, I don't know if I'm right about this, but this could be the same Rabbi Eliezer as per the Mishnah and Parah. But that I'm not sure about. So, I say that point with a grain of salt. But as far as we're talking about the Parah Duma is concerned, we know clearly that Rabbi Eliezer only allows the purchasing of a Parah Duma from a Jew, not a non-Jew. And so how do you understand this whole story? The Gemara answers very simply, so the Gemara says is that there was a middleman, there was a broker. In other words, that in this transaction, there was a Jewish broker. And so it's really technicality, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer has this requirement that you have to buy the Parah Aduma from a Jew. Can the original source be a non-Jew? Sure, that's not a problem. In other words, but the purchase itself has to come from a Jew. So what you do is you just simply put a Jewish broker in there. And so the Jewish broker is going to buy the animal from a non-Jew. Now it's in Jewish possession. Now the Beis HaMikdash now is buying it from a Jew. That's fine. The Gemara says that's fine. Okay.
It's an agent.
Yeah. All you need is an agent. And then you're good. Okay. Fine. Okay. Anyway, I hear, but that's the Gemara's proposal. I noted already yesterday very quickly, but I'll just simply repeat. This episode of Dhamma Menasina, so historically, when did it happen? So to pinpoint exactly is going to be a little bit difficult, but we can concentrate it to a certain period of time. Take a look at the Baam Tosos on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, where Tosos writes, "Picture Mimenu Avanim Leifod, Hai Dhamma Menasina Akachin Bevaishina Haya." So Tosos over here goes through the following logical steps. That really this episode took place during Baisheni. So look at the thought process of Tosos. So we know, now we have the full story. So we know as part of the story is that there was a purchase of a paraduma. So Tosos points out that during Bais Rishon there was no need to burn a para aduma. We have a mistor. We have the following tradition that the para aduma that was burned by Moshe lasted for the entire duration of Bais Rishon. Now, historically, by the way, I know I enjoy going over the history, but historically, that's a long period of time. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu, until the end of Bais Rishon, is approximately 800 years. In other words, you have almost 400 years of Mishkan Shiloh. You have 410 years of Bais Rishon. So it's almost 800 years to get from Moshe to the end of Bais Rishon. That's a long time that you only need one paraduma, but that's the Masor we have. Kol Yimei Bais Rishon, Ve'ad Ezra, Sha'asa Hashnia. Ezra was the one who put together the second paraduma, who had the requirement to put the second paraduma. So literally, we are now talking 800 years from Moshe until Ezra. It's a little bit more than that. No.
Shiloh,
we are. I included Shiloh. So Shiloh is 369 years. Okay, but yeah, by about 14 years. Yeah, okay. So v'kevan daya efa b'vaisheni. So the Gemara says now the efa was in Baisheni. Im kein shamir name hayabo. I'm just going a little bit further in Tosfos. Other interesting points that Tosfos brings out over here. So now we're buying stones. How do we cut the stones? So we know that you can't cut the stones with a knife. So you need something special to cut the stone. So the shamir. And Tosfos now is making the point that if we are now putting ourselves in Bait Sheni and we're buying stones during Bait Sheni and we're cutting the stones now during Bait Sheni, that means that we have the Shamir during Bait Sheni. That in order to cut the stones for the Ephod, you need the Shamir. You forgive me. I'm not going to go through all the details of how exactly the carving was done. Tosfos did, but I'm not going to go through it. But anyway, so what do we have now? The story of Dhamma Menasin taking place during Bais Sheni. And again, the logic is because the paraduma was being purchased, and we know Ezra was the next in line to burn the second paraduma. So we're now obviously talking about Bais Sheni. Now you go back to the beginning of the story. That means that the Avne Ephod were being purchased during Bais Sheni, which means that we're cutting the Avne Ephod. Tosfos points out you need the Shamir, so that means the Shamir was there during the Bais Sheni as well. Just a number of interesting points regarding that. Tosfos goes on, I encourage you, look ahead in Tosfos. It seems a little bit problematic that we had the Shamir during Bais Sheni. Seems to be other Gemara seeming to indicate otherwise. See on in Tosfos for more of this discussion. Anyway, that's just one general point. So where do we stand right now in terms of the Gemara? Just to quickly recap. So a suggestion that whenever we have the word vayichu, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't just simply mean buy, but it also means to sell. And that means then that in terms of the Mishkan, who can we buy materials for the Mishkan from? Only from a Jew. So the Gemara says, what are you going to do with the story of Dhamma ben Asina, who sold the paraduma to us? So the Gemara says, what you have to say is that it was through a Jewish middleman, a broker, a Jewish broker, who sold it to us. In other words, started from Dhamma ben Asina, went to the Jewish broker, then turned to us. Back to the Gemara, we're in Chav Dalam and Aleph, we're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Rabbi Eliezer, L'chaish L'Revia, and the Gemara says now, Rabbi Eliezer, according to Shila, says that we have to buy from a Jew. Why? Because of Exeris HaKasov. Gemara says, what about Revia? Meaning, and that's not a concern of his? Vatanya, the Gemara says, but I know of the following Braisa. Amrulo le Rebbe Eliezer, Maisa v'lachum, and Ove Kochavim, v'damashmo, v'amrila remishmo. So they turned to Rebbe Eliezer, and they said there was an incident where they bought her from a guy. His name was either Dama or Ramatz, but Amrulam Rebbe Eliezer, Misham Raya, Yisrael, Hayu, Misham Ramosom, Mishashinoda. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Eliezer's response was, Shmira. Oh, don't worry. The animal was safeguarded and watched from the time that it was born. Now, what kind of answer is that? Meaning, if the only issue for Rebbe Eliezer was you have to buy from a Jew, so what do you need? Shmira? You just simply need the animal to go from the hands of a non-Jew to the hands of a Jew, then to the hands of the base of Mikdash. Well, what is he talking about, Shmira? Obviously, when he's saying Shmira, it means that we're worried that the Goyim are going to be Rovea. They're going to sodomize the animal, posseling the animal, and Rebbe Eliezer's response was, oh, don't worry, there was Shmira from the time of birth. Rebbe Eliezer talked to Islay. So the Gemara says that Rebbe Eliezer actually had both considerations. Islay, right, I'm just adding the words of the Bach. Islay kicha, v'chayishnam l'revia. So in other words, so there are two considerations. So when Rebbe Eliezer is making purchases for the base of Mikdash, and specifically Karbanos, so now what's on the table for Rebbe Eliezer now are two considerations. One, has to be bought from a Jew. Why? Gzeres hakasa, v'yikhu v'yakichu. Two, we have to be worried about Revia. We have to worry that the animal was sodomized. So for that now, how did we buy the animal for the Paraduma from Dama Ben Asina? Right, he's such a wonderful person, a model for Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim, but at the same time also, maybe somebody in the family sodomized the animal. So for that, the Gemara says it was also Shmira as well. Okay, so there are two considerations for Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara now just is going to sit on this little detail that there was Shmira that was done from the time that the animal was born. And as a result of that, so Rabbi Eliezer and the rest of Klal Yisrael said, we can now buy the animal from the guy. So the Gemara says, look, if we're worried about the animal being sodomized and therefore posseled for based on Mikdash considerations, so not only do you have to worry about the animal being sodomized, but the mother as well. Meaning, as we're going to see in just a moment, the halacha is that if an animal was nirva, if the animal was sodomized, it's possible for a carbon on the mizbeach. Furthermore, if it was sodomized while in utero, meaning the mother was sodomized, so that also now creates a psul for the fetus as well. So the truth of the matter is that if we're really concerned about revia, so the shmira has to now go back. Not just back to the time of birth, but to the time of, as we'll see in just a moment, conception. And we may even have to go further back than that, but we haven't gotten there yet in the Gemara. Let's go step by step. So the two halachas over here that are brought down by Rava. One halacha, really a Baba Kama halacha, is that we know that if it's a shor shenagach, if it's an ox that gored, and it gored multiple times, so the halacha is that it's put to death. And it is aser bahana. You're not allowed to get benefit from a shor shenagach. And on top of that, well, let's say he was pregnant at the time. So not only is the iser going on the mother, but it's also going on the vlad as well. It goes on the fetus. And the second halacha, which is relevant to our discussion, uvlad hanirvaas asura, he uvlad hanirva'u. Not only that, but the fetus that was part of the nirva. So that means that meaning it was in utero. And the mother was sodomized. So under those circumstances, not only is the mother puzzled to be brought as a karban, but the resulting fetus is also going to be us as well. So the Gemara says, so now if we're worried about Shmira, so we need to go back. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, fine, let's push it back. So in other words, Shmira was done from the time of conception. Now, I'm sure all of you are wondering, so basic, and the Gemara is going to ask this question, I'm just foreshadowing it right now. So if we're talking about Shmira done before conception, so basically now a crystal ball was necessary to know that a paraduma is going to be born. Right. And we don't believe in crystal balls. So in other words, how did they now know that the animal that's going to come out as a paraduma, if we're talking about Shmira from the time of conception? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. V'nechosh. But before we get there, the Gemara is bothered by one other point, which is Dilma Ravua Lima Mikara. Gemara says, well, maybe mom was sodomized preconception. And as we're going to point out in just a moment, that certainly disqualifies her as a carbon. And as we're going to see in just a moment, it may disqualify her resulting children, even the ones that come after.
I thought they become sterile after that.
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Didn't they say that the guy is not Rav, his own behavior because
it's... That's Rav's answer. That was Rav's answer. There were three answers. So that's Rav's answer. Then there was also Ravina, and there was also Rebbe Pedas. So this discussion could be going according to either one of those, and probably going like Rebbe Pedas. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So the Gemara says, Dilma Ravu Li'ima Mikara. So the Gemara says, so maybe mom was sodomized, the mother. The mother was sodomized prior to the conception. Did none, and here now a Mishnah and Temura call up Sulm Gabi Mazbeach Vladosem Mutarim. So the Mishnah and Temura seems not to say this. The Mishnah The Mishnah and Temura does not say this. The Mishnah and Temura says that even if I have an animal which is Pasul Mizbeach, if it has a child, the child is fine. That's the Mishnah and Temura. However, Utni Allah. But on this Mishnah we have a Brisa, a complimentary Brisa. And it says, Rabbi Eliezer Oser, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he goes even one step further. That if you have a animal that's Pasul Mizbeach, and that animal now has a child, that child, that offspring, is also going to be Pasul Mizbeach. Right? We have, I'm connecting it to another sugya, but not literally, but figuratively. We have this idea of kol ha-yotze min ha-tar tar, and kol ha-yotze min ha-tame tame. Like, for example, you have milk that's milk from a kosher animal. Milk's kosher. Milk that's kosher, milk from a non-kosher animal, that milk is not kosher. Right? That's a general idea. But over here, it's like obviously not the same. We're talking about two different animals, just one coming from another animal. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, if mom has a psul of a psul mizbeach, for example, it was an irva. So Rabbi Eliezer says that psul continues now through the family. The child is now going to be psul mizbeach. Now the Gemara says even in that sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, so there are two opinions. That's only true if the revia happened after Hekdesh. But if mom was sodomized before mom was a karban, so then divrei hakol according to everyone, meaning both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Eliezer, so then hakol mutar and everything would be mutar, meaning the offspring would be mutar. So el rav huna barchina amar rav nachman machlokes kishenirvo kishen chulin. No. According to the opinion of Rav Nachman, the debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer is only when the revia occurred while the animal was a chulin. Ava kishen mukdashim, but if the animal was nirva as a mukdash, as a consecrated animal, divrei hakol asurin, according to everybody, the mother of course is asura, and the resulting child. Not the resulting child, but the subsequent child is also going to be a surah according to everybody. So now, if you subscribe to this viewpoint of the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, so now we have a problem. Michael Amemar. So now what are you going to say? Because now what do I need Shmirah? I need Shmirah not only on this animal not having been sodomized, but the mother not being sodomized. And let's go back even further. Meaning, and I need the mother shmira to occur during the entire lifetime of the mother. So Ema Yisrael Mishamer Mosali Ima Mishashinotra. So the Gemara says, fine. So you know what we're gonna say? That mother was also Nishmeres from the time that the mom was born. The Gemara says, Venechajum Mariva La Ima Di Ima. So the Gemara says, you know, Ain Ladover Self. Because in this viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, in the Rav Nachman viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, what we have now is this idea that if an animal's pasul mizbeach, that psul is now genetic. That psul will go to the child and to the subsequent child, etc., etc. So if we're really concerned about that, what do we need shmir on? We need shmir not only on the mother, but on its mother, and on its mother, and v'chule v'chule, and ein l'davar sof. And the Gemara says, Kulei Hailo Cheshina. The Gemara says, yeah, but there is a gvul. There's a border. In other words, and I don't know why, meaning, if we're Choshesh L'Revia, so why aren't we Choshesh? Why is there a stopping point? I'm not sure. But the Gemara says, but even according to Rabbi Eliezer, this Shmira requirement is only necessary for the mother, and that's it. Nothing more than the mother. Okay. Adkan. That takes us to the end of that thread. Amar Ma Yisrael Yimashamar Maso Mishashinotzra. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's go back to the point that I raised earlier, which now the Gemara is going to be addressing directly, which is, how do we know? Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we should be worried that the Parah Aduma was near Vasik. Rabbi Eliezer's response was, it was safeguarded. Not only was it safeguarded from the time that it was born, but even from the time of conception. Mina yedi'inan. Gemara's question, really simple, really logical. How do I know? How do I know that the animal was that is going to be born was the Parah Aduma? Let's also consider the fact that, obviously, we're talking about something which is really rare and really unique. Because, remember, the dialogue between Dama ben Asina and the Chachamim. Dama ben Asina says, I know I can get whatever I want. Meaning, this is a priceless commodity. Okay, the little economics that we all know is that if the supply side is down, so the price is really high. So over here, the supply side is really down. Meaning, there's nothing else like it. So we're now looking at something which is a one in a whatever. I can only guess. I'll use a cliche. So this is a one in a million. Okay. And so, how in the world do they know now, oh, let's do Shmira because you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a Parah Aduma that's going to be born. That's, the Gemara says that's...
You do Shmira on
Obra. Ah. So, Amar of Kahana Kos Adom Ma'avirin Lefaneh B'Shasha Ola Ala Zachar. So the Gemara here gives us a little bit about farming, a little bit about manipulating so that we get certain kinds of animals. And the truth of the matter is we were already treated to this in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu, when he took the flock of Lavan, so he already engaged in this kind of behavior, where basically during mating, so he had the animals looking at certain things in order so that the children, the resulting offspring, would come out looking a certain way. So they already by Yaakov Avinu we had this practice on Parshas Vayetze. So the Gemara over here points out. So that's what they did in the family Dama ben Asina. By the way, it's great. I mean, I you know the names are always telling, right? So Dama means blood, meaning that there was red. Red was a common theme in that family. So the Gemara says Kosa Dom. So what they did is they took a cup filled with some sort of red liquid. Or it was a red cup, whatever the case is, and they put it in front of the animal, had the animal staring at it during mating, and that's how a resulting Parah Aduma would come out. I know what your next question is going to be. It's going to be the Gemara's next question. So it's so easy to produce a Parah Aduma. So now the supply side is up, right? And if the supply side is up, so now the price should go down. So the Gemara says, yeah, but shteisaros, remember, it's got to be red. Right, and from head to toe, all the hairs with exception to one. In other words, one black hair, okay. Two black hairs is the psul. So the Gemara says, Umayshna didu. The Gemara says, okay, but Dama ben Nisina was the only one who knew about this kind of farming. So the Gemara says, Amar Avkana ben Muchzakos. So the Gemara says, no. He's not the only one who knew about it, but it was effective for his particular flock. Rashi says, "Bemuchsakos min mishpachos paros hayulo." They had a certain line of animals, of cows, ledama ben Asina. Muchsakos leled vlados adumim. They already had a proclivity to delivering red calves, the havaros kos, with the passing of the red cup, and so therefore he already knew he was getting red. Obviously, what he was shooting for was 100%, or you know, as close as possible to 100% red. So that's why Dama ben Asina was basically looking for it, meaning he was actually farming and he was breeding for the purposes of creating the Parah Aduma. Is it going to come out perfectly? No, not necessarily, but he tried. And at least they knew that that's what they were shooting for. And that's why Shmira was done from a very early period in time. Okay. Where does that leave us with right now? Okay, so now we've covered pretty much all the bases regarding the incident of Dama ben Asina, and all this because of the following question. According to Rabbi Eliezer, now as we learned, there are really two considerations for Rabbi Eliezer. One, you have to buy from a Jew. But the Gemara says, but that's fine. In other words, so you just get a Jewish broker, and you're fine. So in other words, whatever materials the Beis HaMikdash is going to need, so it goes from the guy to the Jewish broker to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're good. Another issue is that if we're talking about animals, so we're concerned about Revia, as we established, Rabbi Eliezer is worried about that as well. Gemara says, okay. That's fine as well. You safeguard for Revia. And that's what in the episode of Dama ben Asina, according to Rabbi Eliezer, had both of those features. One, a Jewish broker. Two, Shmira was done. From what point was Shmira was done? So that was a good part of today's discussion in the Gemara, whether Shmira needed to be done from birth, from conception, maybe even earlier. And they hired a mashkiach. right, right. I think the questions are reasonable. You can ask me more details. I mean, I'm with you now in terms of like what I know. Right? Yosef, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akilah, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting out on the porch. So one of them opened up by saying the following: V'cheina ya Rabbi Lazar posa b'chol karbanas kulan. Rabbi Lazar's shita is not just limited to paraduma. Again, let's go back to what we saw yesterday. The starting point of this whole discussion is the Mishnah in Parah, and it's only regarding the paraduma. So what is a given, what's a known, is that there's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer regarding the purchasing of a paraduma. Chachamim say you can buy it from a non-Jew. Rabbi Eliezer says you can buy it, you can only buy it from a Jew. That's the starting point. Now the discussion is Rabbi Eliezer just limited to paraduma, or is this an entire carbon discussion? That when you buy carbonates, you have to buy it from a Jew. So that's the discussion these Amoraim are having. Okay, good. We're good. We're, that's where we're headed. V'chein ha'yer Rebbe Lazar posa b'chol ha'karbonos kulam. So pasach idach minayu v'amar. So one of them said that the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer is for all karbonos. The other one says v'amar my osuv elei chaver le Rebbe Lazar. Now we already heard this line in yesterday's daf. What did the Chachamim say to Rebbe Eliezer? Pasach ha'navi. Kol son kedar yikap sulach v'chulei. All the goyim are going to be coming bizman haMashiach, and they're all going to bring their animals as karbanos. Amar lehem Rabbi Lazar kulam gerim gerurim hem lasi lavo. So Rabbi Lazar's response is gerim gerurim. Now that expression gerim gerurim, what does that mean? It means that they were converted on their own. What does that mean? They converted on their own. So Rashi over here points out. Gerurim me'atzmam nigraim lizgayer afa pisha emekabam ma'osam. Rashi is reminding us of a gemara that we did not so long ago, that bizman haMashiach we're not accepting gerim, meaning that once it's so obvious to convert, so then we have to be worried about whether the conversion is a sincere conversion or not a sincere conversion. Remember, the gemara earlier has taught us that there during the generations of David HaMelech, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, so we didn't accept converts. And right, everyone wants to convert for ulterior motives. So we didn't accept converts. So bizman haMashiach also, it's too late. Right, last chance. No more chances, I should say. But anyway, gerim gerurim, that's the expression. So they're on their own, they're going to convert. And as a result of that, they're going to, so that's Rabbi Lazar's response. That's why we're going to accept karbanos from them. Another interesting point, by the way, meaning if they're converting on their own, is it a good conversion, not a good conversion? And it sounds like from our Gemara over here, if Rabbi Elazar is defending himself by saying that they converted, so it must mean that according to Rabbi Elazar, the conversion is good, even though, you know, they're doing it on their own. Okay, anyway. A similar discussion, I don't have a good answer, but a similar discussion by Rus, meaning Rus lived during the, well, okay, I take it back. In other words, Rus lived before David HaMelech, obviously. She was a great-grandmother. Okay, the Rambam codifies this. Rambam says also that you don't accept converts during these periods of time. Okay, anyway. Yeah, that's right, correct. That's what Rabbi Lazar's point is. Right. I hear. So Amar Rav Yosef Maikra. Ki az epoch alamim safa b'ra v'chulei. So Rav Yosef quotes another pasuk, a pasuk from Tzefanya. Pasuk says that all the nations safa b'ra were going to be speaking one clear language. Meaning basically that they're all on board along the lines of, they're all going to accept some form of yadus. So Amalei Abai v'duma me'avodus kochav mehoda ha'dabahu. So Abaye says, well, maybe all the pasuk in Tzefanya means is that, look, they're not really converting. And I'll tell you what, I'll go even one step further. They're not even accepting all of Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Maybe the only thing that they're doing is basically disavowing Avodah Zarah. But as far as the other Averos are concerned, maybe they're still on board with the other Averos. And remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there are two concerns. One is that you have to buy the carbon from a Jew. And the second one is the Revi'ah. So what the Gemara now is suggesting, what Abai is suggesting is that maybe this is not a proof, and maybe the only thing that they're disavowing is Avodah Zarah, but they're engaged in the other activities, including Mishkav Behemah. So Amalei Rav Yosef says no. La'avdo shchem echad ksiv. Read on in the Pasuk. It says, La'avdo shchem echad. We're all united in one religion. And so that means to say that they are committing themselves to all of Yadus. Right? And it goes without saying, but of course also Mishka Behema. So that means to say then that at this point in time, the conversion is a full conversion. There's no concern of Revia. There's simply no concern. Okay. So Ad Kan, so that takes us to the end of what is Rabbi Elazar going to do with the Pesukim and Navi, Yeshayahu, and Stefania? And the Gemara, and Rabbi Elazar's answer is they converted. We're going to basically do the same discussion again. There's just a small variation between the way we just said it and the way we're about to say it. I'm going to read it through it quickly. You'll pick up on what the subtle difference is. It's really subtle. Rav Papa Masnehachi, Rav Zvid Masnehachi. So Rav Zvid has a slightly different version of the same discussion. Vita Vayamri Vechena Ya Rabbi Elazar Posa Bechalar Kabanos. So the two of them are saying, remember, this was a conversation between two Amoraim. It was Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. In the first version, it was a dialogue. In the second version, they're both saying it. That's it. That's the only difference. But it's the same discussion. Now they're both pointing out, what do the Chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer called Son Kedai Kapsulach? The Goyim are going to bring the Karbanos in the future. So Amr Rabbi Elazar Kolam Gerim Guru Remeim Lasa Lavo. Oh, they converted. Umay Kraki Azapoch Elamim Safar Bura Likra Kulam B'Shem Hashem. So they're all converted. Maskev Rav Yosef Edem Ma'avodas Kocham Mudadru Behu. Maybe it wasn't the full conversion. Maybe it wasn't even all Shavim Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. Maybe it was just Avodah Zarah. Amle Abai Lav Doshchem Echad Ksiv. So here Abai is giving the answer. He's not the one giving the question. He's giving the answer, which is, no, it's a full conversion. Shchem Echad. We're all serving the same God. It's the same religion. Meisve, the Gemara now is going to ask another kasha. We're two lines from the bottom of the Amud. So we're going to Paro. We're saying to Paro, look, not only do we need a three day furlough, but on top of that, you're going to be supplying the animals. So we're asking Paro now. We're asking Egypt to be the suppliers of the animals for our kabanos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that's a no. So the Gemara says, "Kod nematan Tarashani." Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true, but or remember, this is all before Matan Torah, so all the rules may not apply." Tashma, the Gemara says, "Vayikach Yisro Chosin Moshe Olos Vachim Lelukim." So Yisro is now offering karbanos, and it's coming from his own house. And Yisro nami kod nematan Torah. But the Gemara says, "Okay, but Yisro is right before Matan Torah. In fact, Yisro's Perak Yud Ches Matan Torah is Perakim Yud Tesen Chav." Okay, so it's right before Mantara. So the Gemara says, El Lamandamar, I'm sorry, Hanich Lamandamar, Yisro Kor Mantara, Hava El Lamandamar, Yisro, La'achar Mantara, Hava Maik Alameimar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know the rule of Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, the Torah is not giving us chronology, and even though the incident of Yisro is reported before Mantara, but chronologically it comes after Mantara, which always begs the question, meaning if that's true, why did the Torah then place the story of Yisro before Mantara? So Tosos over here asked that question, top of the Amud Beis, and Tosos says that whenever the Torah is taking something and putting it out of order, it's because the Torah wants to give us a lesson. The Torah wants to tell us something specific. Here, what does the Torah want to do? So it wants to contrast the end of Parshas Bishalach with the beginning of Parshas Yisro, end of Parshas Bishalach, Amalek. Beginning of Parshas Yisro, obviously, Yisro. And that means to say, says Tosos, that Yesh V'Yesh, meaning that amongst the Ummah Sa'olam, so there are those who want to destroy us and there are those who want to help us. Meaning, you put the two side by side. So some Ummah Sa'olam are destructive, some are constructive. Okay.
What about the concept that Israel converted?
Right. Okay, right. Okay, again, right. Good questions. But within the context of why does the Torah move things around? So the question always needs to be raised, and then answers are provided. Tosfos on the Gemara over here gives one such a suggestion. So anyway, so if that's true, so now the incident of Yisro is Acher Matan Torah, and if the incident of Yisro is Acher Matan Torah, so Michael and Amos, so now how can he bring his own karbanos according to Rabbi Eliezer? Eli Yisro mi Yisro Zavon. So the Gemara says that Yisro bought it from a Jew, again a broker. And what about Revia? Gemara doesn't seem to, at this point in time, be bothered.
Well, he didn't need a broker.
Hmm?
Only we need it. Only Jews need a broker.
Right.
But Yisro didn't need a broker. He bought it directly from the Jews.
Yeah, right. Oh, in a chinam, you're right. Correct. Oh, I see. And then since it was owned by Jews, so then we're not choshesh for Revia. Oh, okay. Good. Okay. Tashma. Vayomer shal mayam aleki avim asher chamal ha'am. Al meta vatzon v'habakar. Okay, we're going to be seeing this in a short couple of weeks in the Haftarah for Parshat Zachor. So the Shaul says, look, we wanted the animals to bring us karbanos. So Laman Zvoch Lashem Lakecha. So my Meitav, so now the obvious question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why are you going to take these animals? These animals are from Goyim. And you're going to bring them as a carbon? You're not allowed to do that, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, my Meitav, Demei Meitav. So the Gemara here makes a suggestion that we're going to be taking not the animals, but we're taking the money. And we're going to use the money then to buy animals for the Beis HaMikdash. So Umayshna, and historically, I don't really mean the Beis HaMikdash, I mean Shiloh, but you get the point. Umayshna Meitav, ki echa delikfos alai zvina. So the Gemara says, then what does that mean, Meitav? Meaning we're talking about money now, we're not talking about animals. So the Gemara says, Meitav over here just simply means good money. Meaning money that's, you know, current currency. So that it's going to be easy to buy animals. Tashma. Vayom Arona al David yikach leyal adoni ha-melech ha-tov be'enav. So Arona ha-yevusi says, you take from the best of the animals. Re'a bakar la'ola va'amarigim v'klei bakar la'etzim. So the Gemara says, so how can we do that? Now, how are we going to be able to buy an animal from Arona ha-yevusi? It's a guy. I'm Rav Nachman, Arona Ger Toshavava. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, as an answer, the Gemara suggests that Arona was a Ger Toshav, committing himself to not being Ovid of Avodah Zarah and the other Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach. And so therefore, we're not worried about Mishka Behema. And I guess if Ger Toshav, is that good enough in terms of buying it from a Jew? Maybe there was a broker involved. Okay. Or maybe Ger Toshav would be good enough. No, I understand that, but there's another requirement for Rabbi Eliezer that you have to buy from a Jew. Remember, the Gemara says there are two. Both. The Gemara said both. And the Amud Aleph.
What do you do with the mass and cups that the Kaiser sent to a korban?
All right, good. That's a good question. Okay. I don't have an answer. Huh?
Goy is allowed to bring
a Jew to
korban.
But a Ger Toshav said it
takes
7 minutes.
Right, and maybe for that regard, even. Okay, fine. Anyway, okay. I'm sorry for thinking out loud so much today. Okay, I'll keep my thoughts to myself. Okay, my morigam. Now, mentioned in the pasuk over here in the Navi, so Arona says here, you'll take the animals and you'll take also the morigam. So the Gemara just, you know, the Gemara, when it sees a word in Tanakh and doesn't know what it means, so the Gemara is curious. We should be curious. So Amar Ula, Mita Shal Tarbil. Okay, so it's a Mita Shal Tarbil. You know what happens next? It happens often in the Gemara. My Mita Shal Tarbil. That's wonderful. Could you please explain to me what that is? So the Gemara says, Iza de Korkasa de Daishan. So the Gemara gives a term that's more familiar with. It's basically some sort of instrument used for threshing. Daishan from the word dash. So it was some sort of instrument used for threshing. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra. Rav Yosef says, and oh, by the way, Rav Yosef, who was the Nach expert, he gave Targum a Nach, so he quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Hinei samtich lamarei charutz chadash, ba'al pifios tidosh harim v'tido kevaos kamot tasim. These psukim in Yeshayahu. We need a Rav Yosef to explain them. Anyway, over here you'll see that the word morag is used in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So basically it was some instrument used for threshing. Meitzvei. Gemara asks another shayla. So you know that the paros brought the aron back, and what happened with these paros? These paros then offered as a carbon. So the Gemara says, and now these paros are offered as a carbon. These paros are coming from the goyim. So harasha haisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but harasha. So that was a special dispensation that was given a specific period of time. Hachinami mistab. The Gemara says, and that's got to be. Because the Gemara says you can ask such a simple question. Those were female cows. They were paros. And they were offered as a carbon ola. Like, what's going on? An ola can only come from a male animal, not female animals. So the Gemara says, yeah, but maybe the animals were offered on a bama, on a private bama. So the Gemara says, now it was offered, meaning it sounds like it was offered as a male, but obviously it wasn't. In other words, it was a nursing animal. Obviously it was female. In other words, yeah, but it's the ksiv is without the vav. So in other words, it was offered. So in other words, the Gemara says that's not such a strong kasha. female animal offered as a carbon ola. On a bamas yachid, you're allowed to offer a female as a carbon ola. Rav Yochanan amar gvul yeshla. Now Rav Yochanan says Rashi is going back on the shita of the Chachamim. Okay, so for 3/4 of today's daf, we were focusing on the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. You're not allowed to buy a carbon from a guy for one of two reasons. One, gzeiros hakasa, vayikhu vayakichu. Two, we're worried about mishkav behema, which would render the animal a nirva, which would render the animal psal. That's been the shita of Rabbi Eliezer throughout. The Chachamim, however, not worried. First of all, they don't hold the gzeiros hakasav, and two, they're not worried about revia, the shita of the Chachamim. Why are we not worried about revia? So if you remember, we said back on yesterday's daf, really 2 days ago, the reason why we're not worried about revia is because it's financially costly. They're going to sodomize their own animals, they're going to sterilize their own animals, and therefore, they're not going to do it. They'll suffer financial loss. So on this now, Rav Yochanan is making the following comment. Rav Yochanan amar gvul yeshla p'chusa mi bas gimel shana ne'akeres, bas gimel shana eino ne'akeres. So he says, look, there's a border. In other words, up to 3 years of age, if you sodomize the animal will be sterilized. But after 3 years of age, animal is not going to be sterilized. And therefore, if you're buying an animal anytime from 3 and above, so you have to worry that the animal was in fact sodomized. Even according to the Chachamim. All these questions were asked, meaning from everything that we asked in Rabbi Eliezer, now we're asking the same question according to the Chachamim, but the answer is going to consistently be, it was under 3 years of age. So again, we asked the question from the incident in that we just quoted, with the cows bringing back the Aron. Answer: they were under 3 years of age. So the Gemara says, well, even though they had themselves calves, once again, it was under 3 years of age. So the Gemara says, "P'chusa mi bas gimel shana mi kayalda." Yeah, an animal can give birth under 3. Paru v'chamor mi bas gimel vade lekoin mikan ve'elach safek. And meanwhile, we know the halacha is the Gemara quotes a brisa that a paru v'chamor from 3 years is for sure going to go to the kohen, meaning because it did not give birth yet, and anything above we don't know. Meaning, if you don't know the history, so then now it's a safek. But the Gemara has the mesora that anything that an animal below that any animal below 3 years of age cannot give birth. So the Gemara says, so go back to the previous answers that we gave, and the Gemara says enachinami. Now I'm not on the farm, I don't know this, but Tosos is on the farm, and you know, and even I even know people to this very day who are on the farm. But the Tosos is bothered by the fact that, you know, our animals do give birth under 3 years of age. So how the Gemara says as a Dover Pasha that animals don't give birth before 3. Answers Tosos that Nishtanu Ateva, that nature changes over the course of time. And even though the Gemara has dealt with certain natural realities, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the natural realities continue and perpetuate forever. So nature does change some over the course of time, and this is obviously going to be a good source. Right. So the Tosas Divrei Maschil Paru V'Chamor. Right, he writes the Vade Ata Nishtanu Ha'Eis Mechamosha Haya B'Dor Sarishonim. Right, it's not the same. Right, animals give birth even at an earlier point in time. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the 2 dots.